This morning's lesson is from Jeremiah chapter 9, the 23rd verse, beginning at the 23rd verse, and reading to the end of the chapter. This is what the Lord said. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts, boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish all who are circumcised only in the flesh, Egypt, Judah, Edom, Ammon, Moab, and all who live in the desert in distant places. For all these nations are really uncircumcised, and even the whole house of Israel is uncircumcised in heart. Today is a proud day at New Hope. Today we honor some great accomplishments. Three of our members are graduating this spring. We honor them, and we share their pride. Jennifer and Heidi have graduated from college, and soon Josh will graduate from high school. They have a right to be proud. We know their families are proud of them, and we share their pride. Their accomplishments reflect well on their families and on us as well. What about you? What else are you proud of? I'll tell you what I take pride in. I'm proud of Megan and Matthew. They've both gotten through very challenging terms at college. Been an interesting year so far. They've been through the mill and have managed to survive. I'm proud of their accomplishments. I'm proud of who they are. When Megan was born, I was on top of the world, as most of you know, because you were there with me at the time. When Matthew was born, people said, well, now you have the million-dollar family. Yes, I'm proud of Megan and Matthew. They are my riches, my million-dollar family. And God has truly blessed me. I'm also proud of Tammy. She has a heart of compassion gained through the classroom of pain and heartache. She has taught me much, and I've grown because of her. She is my strength. With her on my side, I can conquer the world. I'm also proud of each one of you. I could name each one of you, although brain fog might make it slower than I wish it was. I could name each of you and tell what you have taught me, as I've been privileged to join with you in your journeys of faith. I've benefited from the ways that I've seen God work in each of your lives. I have learned much from each one of you. You are my wisdom, and much of what I know about God's love has come from knowing you. Yes, God has richly blessed me. He has given me riches. He has given me strength. He has given me wisdom. And I am proud. And I am thankful for each one of you. But pride can be a dangerous thing. It can lead us to false gods. So God, being loving, gives us ample warning. In today's lesson, we are told, this is what the Lord said. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, nor the strong man boast of his strength, nor the rich man boast of his riches. So though I am proud, because God has made me wise and wealthy and strong, I will not boast. Though I am proud of Matthew and Megan, I will not be boastful about them. Thankful, yes. Boastful, no. God warns the strong man not to boast in his strength, so though I'm proud of Tammy, I won't be boastful. Thankful, yes. Boastful, no. Since God warns the wise man not to boast in his wisdom, though I am proud of each one of you, I will not be boastful. Thankful, yes. Boastful, no. One reason I will not boast is because I've been the recipient of your blessing, not the cause. Seen in the light of God's purity, all my life one day will be seen in the light of His purity. And it will be seen that there is nothing in my life worth boasting about. God's purity aside, seen only in the light of the purity my life could have achieved had sin not separated me from God, there will be nothing in my life to boast about. You see, though I have done what I thought I should do as a father, and though I've done my best, I'm honest enough to realize that my children's accomplishments are their accomplishments, not mine, and that they accomplished as much in spite of me as because of me. Though I have tried to be the best husband that I could be, I've been working with a handicap myself, and Tammy has had a lot to put up with. Though I've tried to be the best pastor that I could be, I know that when I am called upon to give an account of my stewardship to God, it will be seen that I have actually received more from you than I have given. So though I am proud of each one of you, I will not be boastful. Thankful, yes. Boastful, no. I hear echoing in the back of my mind the words of Paul in Galatians chapter 6, where he says, may I never boast save in the cross of Christ. You see, apart from God, I am incomplete. Even with God, the remnants of sin in my life prevent me from finding wholeness in Him. And apart from Him, there is no wholeness. God is not just an idea we believe in to get us through hard times. There really is a God. And in truth, He's probably not much like the image of God that we carry inside of us. Many people don't know God at all. They are incomplete. And something inside of them knows that they are incomplete. So they seek completeness in other places and replace worship of the true God with pride in something or someone else. Not knowing God, many parents will expect their children to fill that gap, meeting their every need and giving them a sense of fulfillment and purpose. But children make poor substitutes for God. And if we look for our identity in them, demanding that they live up to our image of what children should be, we'll only end up scaring them away or making them frustrated and angry with a parent that is never satisfied in them. Not knowing God, many married people will look to their spouse to take God's place, meeting their every need and giving them a sense of fulfillment. But spouses make poor substitutes for God. And if we look for our identity or fulfillment in them, demanding that they live up to our image of what we think a spouse should be, we will only end up scaring that person away or making that person frustrated and angry with the spouse that is never satisfied. Because we cannot be satisfied apart from God. Not knowing God, many people will expect other persons to take the place of God, friends, relatives, maybe even strangers, the many heroes and idols that we make for ourselves to worship, famous people and not so famous people. But other people make a poor substitute for God. And if we look to them for completeness, demanding they live up to our image of what we think they should be, we will only end up empty and disappointed. Other people, never coming to terms with who God really is, but not interested in finding fulfillment in other people, will turn to things, wealth, possessions, or to inanimate objects like fame, recognition, respect. We all need a God. And if we don't find the true God, we will try to settle for a false one. In Jeremiah's day, they tried all kinds of substitutes. And if you've been reading along with us in Jeremiah, no doubt you read the words in the second chapter, even if you didn't get all the way to chapter 25. No doubt you read the words in the second chapter, where God shares his disappointment in the people of Israel. Starting at verse 13, in the second chapter of Jeremiah, he says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forgotten me, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." You see, these are the only two choices available to us: to come to God, the true spring of living water, or to dig for ourselves cisterns in an attempt to find living water somewhere else. God gives us many people and many things in life that bring enjoyment. But when things meant to bring enjoyment and a measure of satisfaction and pride end up being worshipped or looked to for absolute fulfillment, we are only hurting ourselves and the people or things that we are worshiping. So God tells us about this. And to many people, when God speaks, his words sound harsh and critical. And God sounds like that parent who can never be satisfied. And God sounds like that spouse who is never fulfilled. And God sounds like that friend for whom we can never do enough. But as we learn from Isaiah, God's motivation is love. His warning is stern because the danger is real. And so in Isaiah we read these words: "The Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are all who wait for him." We might add, blessed are all who wait for him, instead of turning to other people and to things for fulfillment. And through Jeremiah, God pleads with us also, saying, "Don't run until your feet are bare and your throat is dry." But instead of turning to God, so often we reply, "It's no use. I love my foreign gods. I must go after them." And sometimes God tries to wake us up through trials and difficulties. As Jeremiah tells us, this is what the Lord says, "Look, I am preparing a disaster for you. I am devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each of you, and reform your ways and your actions." But the people will reply, "It's no use. We will continue with our own plans. Each of us will follow the stubbornness of his own evil heart." There's nothing wrong with appreciating the value of good friends and family. And I certainly hope there's no harm in taking pride in them, because I do take pride in my family, my children, my spouse, my church family. The Bible tells us there is no harm in taking pride in people that mean a lot to you, as long as we remember that no one, even those we love the most, especially those we love the most, no one can fill God's place in us but God Himself, the true God. And we don't have to seek long and hard for Him. For as Moses tells us, He is near to each one of us. He is already in our hearts calling to us. And as the prophets tell us, even now at this moment, God is calling, trying to make Himself known to us. And God does make Himself known through the words of the prophets, and especially through the life and teaching of His own Son, Jesus Christ. Through these words and through His life, God has made known to us His kindness, His justice, His righteousness. Yet our sinfulness creates a veil that hides us from Him. Though He stands right before us, we can't see Him, because that veil interferes. After several years of dreaming, finally broke down not too long ago and bought myself a digital camera. I love toys. I've always loved toys. And now I have a new one. But there's a problem with a digital camera. For it to work, you have to turn it on. And sometimes when I turn it on, I don't flip the switch quite far enough. And then I put the camera up to my eye expecting to see something, and there's nothing there. I went to take a picture of some flowers in the backyard the other day. I flipped the switch on, pointed the camera, no flowers. I thought God had struck me blind. I moved the camera, there they were, right in front of me. Put the camera up to my eyes, I saw nothing but blackness. I realized I must turn the switch off, turn it on again, this time make sure I have it on all the way. When I did that, the flowers magically appeared in my viewfinder. God comes to us every day. And many of us are even looking for Him. And yet we fail to see Him. We fail to see Him because we look in the wrong places. We fail to hear Him because we will not be still enough to hear His quiet voice. All we hear is the clamor of the world in which we live. We do not see Him because we allow the sin in our lives to be more valuable to us than a relationship with Him. That sin creates a covering, a veil, that hides Him from us. But Paul, writing to the Corinthian Christians, said that in Jesus Christ that veil is removed. And then we, with unveiled eyes, are able to see the glory and majesty and wonder of God. There is much about this world I do not understand. But one thing I do know. When God has his proper place in my life, and the rest of the world is allowed to settle into the place that God intended it to be in my life, that's when I find understanding. When I'm able to look at my children as people in their own right, pursuing their own dreams, achieving their own achievements, when I no longer look to them to fill the emptiness only God can fill, then I'm able to take pride in them. And they are able to know that I am indeed satisfied with who they are. When I am able to look at my wife and see in her the treasure that God has given me, instead of expecting her to meet unrealistic demands in my life, when God has his proper place in my life, my marriage is able to take on a dimension I could never have achieved without God. As I serve this congregation, when I look to you to provide a meaning and a purpose that only God can give, then I will not be satisfied with you, and you will be very frustrated and unsatisfied with me. But when God has his proper place in my life, I can view my congregation as a blessing from God, and the opportunities that I have to minister to you become an opportunity to serve you and a way of saying thank you to God. So it is in life. When God has his proper place in our hearts, in our souls, in our lives, the rest of life takes on a beauty and a wonder that it can never have when we place on it the unrealistic expectation of being the source of our fulfillment. And the wonderful thing about it is that God does love us and is reaching out to each one of us. God does not give his love to some and withhold it from others. He's reaching out to each one of us. He's trying to teach us about his kindness, his justice, his righteousness. When we worship him as God, serve him with our lives, seek for him with all our being, then and only then do we find true satisfaction. Then and only then are the blessings of life able to be blessings and not burden. Heavenly Father, we pray that each day we might have a renewed sense of your reality, of your presence, and of your love, and that through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we might become more and more acquainted with your kindness, your justice, your righteousness. And though we take pride in the many gifts that you give us, the many accomplishments that we and those we love achieve, may we truly boast only in one thing: the cross of Jesus Christ and the fellowship he invites us into. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.